This is Sean Kennedy, the Editor-in-Chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm here with Mary Stahl, the President of AACN, the American Association of Critical Care Nurses, and Catherine Roberts, who is the President-elect of the American Association of Critical Care Nurses. We're here at NTI, and we're having a chat about Mary's year and what that's been like, and Catherine's year to come with her new theme, Dare To. One of the things that always strikes me, this must be my 12th NTI, if not more than that, is the energy that's here at this meeting. And how do you feel that nurses going back now, what would you like to see happen? Because everybody comes out of this with such energy, and how do they sustain that?
Well, it's up to the individual, but it is how much they engage while they're here. Depends, that will determine how much rejuvenation and energy they get to carry home. And so hopefully some of our themes, some of our messaging gives them take homes that they can go home and enact and carry out. I have personally seen the energy of NTI take a nurse who was ready to quit nursing and turn her around to the point that she became a leader in shared governance in her hospital, in her unit, and in her system. I have seen that kind of turnaround from the energy you get at NTI. And if they'll just engage and talk to people here and really care again about what nursing is, if they've lost that edge, they can find it again.
And it's funny, I had a conversation maybe 3 hours ago with a nurse who had been in the super session, and she might be on her 12th NTI as well. But she said to me, I come here and I get so inspired and I have so much energy, and then I go back and I get beaten down. So we talked a little bit more, and I said, I think each one of us has to find that thing that we take home with us and then share it with other folks. So her challenge the next few days is to figure out what is it that she's going to keep going when she gets back, no matter what's going on in her home environment as well, because I think the energy here is fantastic. Maybe you came with a group of people. Maybe you didn't. But you have to decide what you're going to keep going when you get back home again.
Now, AACN has, I heard you say at the session yesterday, Mary, 96,000 members, give or take, plus. What about, how many chapters are there now? And I know there's some international chapters as well, correct?
We have some chapters in other countries. They're mostly around U.S. military bases. So I don't know that we have chapters that are other nationalities of people. Primarily there are service people. And I'm trying to remember the number of chapters we have. I think it's either, I'm bad with numbers, 112 or 212. 12 sticks in my head. Is it 212? Sounds more right.
Number of chapters.
Yeah, 212 chapters.
That's impressive.
So it is. And, you know, I just talked to somebody the other day who said, I'm here, I am so energized, I'm going back home and starting a chapter in my town.
So by next year, when I talk with you, Catherine, it might be 213.
Sure. I think that would be absolutely fantastic. Maybe more. How about 220?
It should be more.
How about 220? Yeah. That's a good.
Now, one of the things, and there was one session on it, and I think you alluded to it in your report, was the IOM report on the future of nursing. And I've heard, and I've seen it on Twitter and in the blogosphere, and many nurses I've talked to, some of our contributing editors, when I asked them about the report and what do nurses in their hospital feel, and several of them have told me that they feel that their nurses feel that the report doesn't really pertain to them, but more to nurse practitioners and people out in practice. And yet that doesn't seem to be the intent of the report. What has AACN done around the IOM report? Has it, in terms of helping critical care nurses see where they fit into this?
Well, we've talked about it at a board level, and we've looked at all those recommendations from the IOM and asked ourselves, what are we doing internally that aligns well with this, that supports it? What is in the realm of where we really, our efforts are best made? And so, like, academic education isn't our thing, but continuing education is. And for instance, one of them that I think strongly pertains to the bedside nurse is that nurses should practice to the full extent of their license. And so many people think that that's just talking about advanced practice nurses because there's such disparity in state laws around how much They do allow APNs to practice, but it really does pertain to the bedside nurse, where there's often hospital policies, rules, guidelines, things that are limitations. I'm actually quite happy to share that the Robert Wood Johnson is funding a group to actually look at what are the barriers for nurses to practicing the full extent of their license, and it's not APNs. We're talking rank and file nurses in every other setting, and I'm actually honored to be AACN's representative to that group. We're meeting in a couple of weeks, and they have people from all different settings, community health, you know, public health nurses, school nurses through acute care. So clearly I'm on the acute care side, but we're there just to talk about how do we go about gathering this data, what are the barriers, and then how can we overcome them. So I think it is pertinent to nurses at all levels, and I think I would ask them not to just make those assumptions, but to actually read it and go, how does this affect me and what can I do with this? Because it's a very powerful report.
Have you seen, Catherine, in your institution, have people been talking about the report?
We have seen people talking about the report. We had partnered with an event that had gone on at the University of Pennsylvania as well that was open to folks to come and talk about the recommendations out of the IOM report. And one of the things, I think every nurse has an obligation to read that report, perhaps not the 500-page report, but at least the executive summary, because we're making decisions about what nursing will look like in the future. You want to know what's in there and how it may affect you. So as we've both been out speaking, Mary's been out speaking even more than I have this year, but as we've talked about Together Stronger Bolder, well, you have to bring your A game to your team, which means you need to know what competencies you have and have really well right now, and what competencies do I need to develop so that I really do bring my A game to the team every time. And I think that report helps to outline some of the competencies we're going to need to have in the future as well.
Now, the Beacon Award is something that AACN has, how many, about 4 or 5 years now or longer? It's been a while.
It's revised.
I have to check.
I'm
not quite sure how many
years. But the Beacon Award is given to the unit. So I imagine the unit has certain characteristics that support practice. That probably fits in somewhere to the IOM report in terms of facilitating professional practice within the institutional setting.
I'm entirely sure that things would align if you lined up the IOM report along with the Beacon criteria, but the IOM report is far more recent. We have done crosswalks, and we know that the Beacon Award criteria aligns very well with the other excellence programs that are out there, the Malcolm Baldrige Award criteria, the Magnet Award criteria, because it talks about all those areas about outcomes for your patients and, you know, what do you have in place for your staff and supporting your staff, what do you have for communication and collaboration, that all those things are working. So the criteria are really very nicely laid out. And the thing I'm most proud of with the redesign of it is no longer is it categorized by type of unit, but these are the behaviors. And we don't have to have Beacon criteria for ED or OR. We have Beacon criteria, and you find your way to share how you meet those criteria. And the award winners are so exciting. I was at a little reception with them yesterday, and there was a ton of them around. I mean, they were all very energized and excited. Have you seen the Beacon wall down there?
Every time I see the Beacon wall, there's groups in front. There are groups in front of the wall taking pictures with their arms up and celebrating, so they certainly are very excited by it.
Now,
how about in your institution, is the Beacon Award, is that something that any of the groups in your group institution are going for?
We are working on that right now. So for the PICU is working on their Beacon application. Major headway with it, but there's still some work to do to finish it up so we can actually submit it and perhaps get it in time for next year's NTI. The other thing we've been talking about at the hospital is how to spread that beyond, you know, the unit that I'm in to the other areas that could submit as well.
Now, we've been talking about a lot of the association initiatives, but just from your day-to-day conversations and both your own experiences with your own units and colleagues in other units, what do you hear is something that most nurses in critical care still feel is a big issue for them? Some of the things that I just learned here in terms of
you know, post-ICU syndrome seems to be a new thing that people are now describing. But are there any other, either, and it may differ because you're cardiothoracic, is it, and, yeah. and you're peds, but is, are there some major issues that you see in your unit that seem to be common to many people across the country?
Well, when I go across the country and talk to people, I would tell you healthy work environments is really a universal topic. They either are proud of what they've done to achieve that, or they have concerns that all fall back to healthy work environments and the work that they need to do to make that right. Whether it's we've got this communication problem going on, or I don't feel like I've got good collaboration, or we've got this going really well, look at how good we're doing it, or staffing concerns, or issues with their managers and authentic leadership, or oh, we've got a great manager, look what she's done, she's brought so many of us here to the NTI. So probably the core issues, that's really where a lot of it centers back around, is around their healthy work environments and whether they've got one or working on it or they've got some road to go.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Catherine?
Yeah, absolutely. What's been interesting talking to nurses across the country is that most of the issues, it doesn't matter what type of unit you work in. So one of the conversations that's been most interesting to have is when you ask nurses how they influence other people. And I think we still have a fair number of nurses who don't believe they can. They do have the ability, they just don't believe it. So how we, the challenge is, how do you make that shift so that every nurse believes that he or she is an influencer? You don't have to have the title of supervisor, or manager, or director, but I'm your nurse today, and I'm going to influence the team on the care you receive today. I may influence your family members. I'll hopefully influence you as well, and my other colleagues. So I think you hear that across the country. And we all know nurses who we think are fantastic influencers, and we all look up to them. So how do I get the skills to do that myself is a question I hear nurses asking.
Now, as far as the association goes, the critical care, your association, AACN, and I keep going back to saying the Critical Care Nurses Association, because in case somebody pops in, they don't think I'm talking about the American Association of Colleges of Nursing. So Critical Care Nursing Association, what are some of the issues as an association that you feel are challenging? Certainly the economy, when I talk to different people, in different associations, the economy has had an impact on association membership, yet AACN seems to be thriving. But yet I'm sure there's some repercussions from the economy that your association has felt as well. But what's the main challenge you feel to your association?
In the workplace, I think economy is important, and I think healthcare reform is part of that. When we look at what we're expecting or anticipating, if we had a crystal ball for what's going to happen with the Accountable Care Act, hospitals are concerned about their revenue is going forward. And so they are in a let's be efficient, let's be cost-saving mode. And that gets passed on to staff, whether it's in terms of staffing ratios or in terms of the support that they're willing to give them to attend conferences, the education that they're providing on site, what they're able to do for orientation. And so I think that, to me, on an association level, that's a concern, because those are our members, and we may have a great number of members, but that just means a lot of people who are impacted in this way. So how does that impact their ability to access education? Can they come to NTI? Do we provide more regional events, more things locally? Do we work more closely with our chapters and ambassadors so we're providing things at a more local level that actually can reach people, even though they may not have the funding to go to broader reach? Another big impact out there is technology, which, you know, healthcare technology alone is rapidly changing, and electronic medical records, and, you know, how is that impacting our environment? But the technology by which people communicate and educate is also changing. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, all the, you know, social media, how do you access people, webinars, those things are shifting too. So needing to stay on top of the best ways to reach out to our members so that they can connect with the education and the other things we provide them or we want to provide to them. So we're reaching them how they want it, when they want it, where they want it. in the right size bites and everything else. I think those are probably two of the biggest things. And when we look at our strategic planning, those are definitely on the list.
Mm-hmm. Would you add anything to that, Catherine, in terms of
the piece I'd add to that is time. And it builds on the idea of giving people what they want, when they want it, how they want it. But the other thing, and this isn't unique to nursing, but you look at the American public and everybody's so busy and everybody's cramming so many things into their day that as an organization, what we want to do is give people the value they're looking for mm-hmm. in their membership. And there are so many resources that ASCN has to offer, but we're always looking to make sure they're the resources that nurses need mm-hmm. and really getting a lot of that information from the membership. And we're currently offering, we're offering Beacon, we offer many e-resources, we offer many continuing education products. But do they meet your needs? Because if they don't, we can offer them all they like, but mm-hmm. you don't get what you're looking for. So hopefully our growing membership and the growing diversity of the membership is telling us that we are continuing to meet people's needs, and we'll keep figuring out how to do that best way we can.
Now, for next year, you'll be, Mary, you'll be, I know you don't step down. Once, when you're president of ASCN, you never quite leave. it's like, and you don't even fade away. I mean, you stay active for, many of the presidents stay active on many boards and committees, and I see them all the time at NTI. What's your pathway? Do you have one yet, or your trajectory?
Well, yeah, I have to tell you, my day job's looking forward to my reentry into the workplace. I hear that loud and clear that they're looking forward to having me back. So that'll be a transition, quite honestly. We moved into a new building while I was gone. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done at work. So that'll be one thing. But as past president, you chair the nominating committee, which is a big task to find the right people on the ballot for the next year. So there's some good work there. And, you know, I have some opportunities to speak at some of our other educational programs that we are doing, the Nurse Manager Priorities and Progressive Care Pathways conferences this fall. We've been building our relationship with our Canadian Critical Care Society partners, and I'll be going to their conference called Dynamics. And so I get a little bit of travel out there and, you know, continue speaking and continue being an ambassador for AACN. I think there may be another shoe waiting to drop. They won't tell me about until after July 1st, but certainly continuing to be involved in AAC and is there. I still have some chapter events coming up through the fall.
And for you, Catherine, next year, what do you see as your biggest priority as the incoming president?
There are multiple priorities because there are multiple aspects to the role of the president. So absolutely, get out there, talk about the theme, and find out what that means to nurses across the country. Because it's interesting, we come up with a theme, and it's done with a team at ASCN, and we reveal it here, and then it takes on its own life. So it will be very interesting to see how nurses interpret it for themselves. You know, but the other role of the president is in the development of the board of directors, and partnering with both the staff at ASCN and with Wanda, our CEO, as we think about how we're moving forward and thinking strategically about that. So all of those are priorities, not with anyone any higher than the other, but they're all fantastic priorities that will keep us going next year.
Well, thank you both for taking the time. I know you tend to have roller skates on at NTI. They keep you pretty busy. So I want to thank you so much for the time. And Mary, I really enjoyed your presentation. I'm looking forward to hearing your talk tomorrow, Catherine. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sean.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you.